We actually have another representative of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and I'd like to ask Anne Maxwell to come up. Is a committee of management member for the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Anne is a former librarian. She's worked with the AUWU on and off since 2016. She actually became involved with them when she rang them to ask for help for herself. So she knows all about the work that they do. And the work that AUWU does is through lobbying, research work and advocacy work, which is really important for those who are facing Centrelink on their own, and providing a voice to give power to those who are among the most disempowered and vulnerable. So I'd like Anne to please come up.
I would also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Kulin Nation, and I would like to thank the Unitarian Church very much for once again inviting the Australian Unemployed Workers Union into your space, which from my own experience I've always found to be a very welcoming one. And yes, I do send Owen's apologies for not being here today. In fact, I was going to come along today anyway because I hadn't heard Owen talk about the casualisation aspect of the unemployment issues, but I only found out 2 hours ago I was actually going to be up on this side of the microphone. I won't be talking about those economic issues, which I hope Owen does at some point in the future have the opportunity to address you about those, because he is someone who has quite a deep knowledge of the economic, macroeconomic issues around these situations that the likes of unemployed librarians find themselves in sometimes. So what I will be talking about instead is more about the work that the Australian Unemployed Workers Union is doing, and there's quite a lot going on at the moment. For those of you who don't know the union so well, we do, I guess you could tell from the name even, Unemployed Workers Union, that we're not highly well resourced. And so that is why the support of people like yourselves is so important to us, even just having a space to stand in. The other aspect of the union is we have a fairly broad definition of unemployed worker as well. So we see ourselves as representing any unwaged workers or insecurely waged. So to that degree, someone who's a retired worker, we would consider as coming within our ambit. However, our focus has been on what's known currently as the job active system. So it's that part of the social security net that's been privatised. It's that aspect of Centrelink that's been privatised that deals with unemployment benefits. So usually those people on Newstart or Youth Allowance or the Disability Employment Services. It's a fun one to get active around. And I have to say that my story of getting involved with the union was, yes, I did ring the hotline, and who knew, it had only been in existence for 3 months at that point, and it was Owen who answered the phone. He and the service that the union was providing, for me personally, it reassured me that I wasn't entirely thrown on the scrap heap, which is the experience that you have when you hit the job active system. And so my experience coming into the union is not unusual for a lot of people who come into the union. They do come through their own experience of being on Newstart, on unemployment benefits, and of what that means to their lives due to the way the system operates. In fact, it's that the union has in part become established as a reaction to that government policy and that and those privatised services. And really, they're our recruiters. It is a self-recruiting place to be active in. We have no shortage of people coming in and wanting to be a part of it. We are called a union. We're not actually a trade union as such, and that's not our aim. But if we were, we would be one of the fastest growing unions in the country. And at the moment, we have about 11,000 members. So this business of job active with a small J for some reason, is what the contract between the Department of Jobs and Small Business, which used to be till recently the Department of Employment and until recently headed by Michaela Cash, but now headed by Kelly Dwyer. This is the contract between the government and employment service providers. Employment service providers can be for-profit institutions or not-for-profit. So, for example, the Salvation Army would be a non-profit and Max Employment would be a for-profit. And as I say, it's a fun one to be working in because it brings together so many different issues and in such a big way. In fact, 2018 marks the 20th anniversary of the privatisation of employment services. And at the moment, these services are costing $1.3 billion a year. It's actually the second largest procurement contract outside of defence. And every year, about 650,000 people are receiving these services. And I'm smiling a bit because whenever I say employment services, I'm always inverted. I've always got the inverted commas going because what the union would say, and in fact we're saying it now very officially in a report that we'll be launching next week called Working It Out. And this is a report that the union contributed to that was also authored by the researchers at Per Capita, the progressive think tank you might have heard of, and in combination with researchers from Monash University. And they've spent the last 6 months talking to people like myself who've been on the system and also looking at the economics more broadly. And they, like the union, and I think like anyone who has encountered the system personally, but it's very nice to have a more formalised in a research report. And that's the conclusion that JobActive, which is the contract since 2015 and it's had different names through the 20-year period, it's not an employment services industry. It's not providing employment services. What it is it's a compliance industry. And what it's doing is it's ensuring that people who are receiving social welfare are complying with certain activities that have been deemed to help someone. And even the industry itself will not say to help someone get employment, it's to help someone become job ready. And I have actually asked people exactly what jobs are we becoming ready for, and they haven't given me the answer yet. I'm just curious, who here has personal experience of people on JobActive or people on unemployment benefits in terms of friends and family? Who's heard any of the stories just through their own connections? Okay, so we have about 5 or 6 out of about 30 people. So it's kind of interesting because I always say it's one of the most disgraceful things going on in this country, but it's also a very isolating experience, and so it doesn't really filter out into the mainstream. Even if you do know someone who's been through the experience personally, it's very hard to see how systemic it is and how widespread it is and to understand what an institutionalised problem this is. Even for myself going through the system, it took me a good 3 months of appointments to understand that I was not going to get any help writing my resume. And it took me another year and a half, really before I hit the work for the dole phase, to understand exactly how punitive the compliance measures were. So I think a lot of people on Newstart or Youth Allowance or DES, the first time they encounter what's called their caseworkers, because of course to get the social security and payment you are obliged to go to employments with these job service providers and you get a caseworker. A lot of people will enter that situation without understanding that they are now negotiating their mutual obligations with the government, and they don't understand that they are negotiating with an entity that is given all the power, including the power to take away your only form of income. And they don't understand they have rights in that negotiation, and they don't understand that the entity sitting across the table from you has a whole different agenda to what yours is. Yours is to survive on the benefit and to hopefully gain employment. Theirs is to ensure that you undertake certain activities in order for them to get income from the government. And those two things often, not only do they not coincide, but they're actually in opposition and they actually are often detrimental to the situation of the unemployed person. The other thing that makes this compliance system so diabolical is not just the imbalanced power relationship. And what we've noted too is that JobActive contract, which has been around for 3 years now, under that contract there's been 5.2 million penalties raised against unemployed people. And a penalty usually means that your payments are stopped, which means for someone surviving on $250 a week, that can mean the difference of a meal or getting your rent paid. And the only evaluation of that that's happened that we know of, which was by the department itself, showed that 50% of those penalties were overturned by Centrelink. And currently, the ability of the unemployed worker to appeal the penalty since July the 1st this year, they've actually removed that for the first four penalties. So that's been changed. So now you actually have to sit through four instances of having your payments stopped before you can actually appeal to Centrelink, even though the department knows that half the time those penalties were not warranted. Probably one of the most egregious cases I've heard of. So, of course, Australian Unemployed Workers Union runs a hotline, and so we hear from the unemployed workers' side of the story. And I don't run the hotline myself, but I hear some of those stories filter through to me. And I think one of the worst ones I've heard lately is of someone who was given two appointments by their job provider, both at the same time in two different places. And then they were penalised for the appointment they didn't turn up to. And so this is the sort of power game that goes on when people have incentives to have unemployed workers behave in certain ways, and also when there is no recourse when there starts to become a relationship breakdown with caseworkers, and when, in fact, people become bullied and harassed through these penalties. The paper that I was referring to, Working It Out, is being launched, and that will actually go into more detail about those kinds of issues. It also points out that this compliance system, I mean, it would be hard enough. I mean, I always say that unemployment itself, the stick motivator to get a job. You don't need these extra sticks. It would be one thing if employment itself was the problem, which it is, because we've used ABS data to show that at the moment there's about 16 job seekers for every vacant position. And of course, those ratios go up when you're looking at white collar jobs. You're looking at 200 or so people applying for a job. So it'd be one thing if that was the situation, but when you add punishment for not getting a job into it, I think it's cruel and unusual, actually. That's what motivates me to work in this area, and in addition to my personal experience of the system. It's interesting, when you do become active in this area, you have to become an expert not just on social security employment policy, but also on macroeconomics, the history of employment services, the history of human rights law. And if you really want to understand how on earth does this situation get perpetuated, because there are 650,000 people dealing with job providers today, think about how many interactions there are if you're required to have an appointment at least once a month. Sometimes if they're hammering someone, they'll make it two or three times a week or more. None of those interactions are about supporting the potential of someone. They're all about directing someone to comply with something in order for someone else to make money. And they're all such dysfunctional interactions. And in fact, if you think about that, we're spending $1.3 billion a year for those interactions to happen, the conclusion that the AUWU is drawing is that it's probably one of the biggest rorts ever perpetuated in the Australian economy. Think about the way young people are treated when they're told that they have to go and do work for the dole and they can't do the training course that they want to do. And they're too young and inexperienced to negotiate their right, actually, to go and do the education that they want and not to have to go and sweep floors for 6 months. And that's happening all across the country. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk a little bit about what the Unemployed Workers Union is doing. We're very proud to say at the moment we've been instrumental in getting a Senate inquiry up through the Committee of Employment, Education and Employment. Anyone can make a submission, and I really encourage anyone who feels in any way concerned about this system to do so. You don't have to get technical, you don't have to know a lot of dates, just telling your own story or that of someone you know who's on the system would help in that inquiry, and submissions close on the 28th of September, so it's still open. And what else is going on is, as much as possible, the union has tried to have input into the new contract. So JobActive will expire in 2020, and the government is writing a new five-year contract, and they've spent about 12 months gearing up on that. And we're very concerned about how that's going to look. And we're also very concerned that they might be trying to push it through for the next federal election. So I think that's about it from me. So thank you very much.